So this morning we have a visiting brother, Brother Andrew Shepherd, and he's visiting from the Kempville East congregation, and he's going to be delivering the talk, "Keep Growing in Your Relationship with God." So let's all pay attention to Brother Shepherd.
So let's get one thing out of the way first. If we're going to talk about keep growing in your relationship with God, we have to be convinced that we can even have a relationship with God in the first place. So the answer to that really is not overly complicated. If we think about human beings having a relationship with an all-powerful being, one who created all things, who's invisible to us, and we think, well, how could it be that we can even have a relationship with him? The answer really lies in the past, in why the Creator made human beings in the first place and how he made them. And he made them in such a way that allowed them to have a relationship with him. In fact, they were made in such a way that he wanted them to pursue that as a lifelong goal, to have a fine relationship with their Creator. He placed them in a very beautiful surroundings. He did not create humans to suffer from the beginning, did he? They were in paradise. They were well taken care of, well fed, and well trained, you know, by their Heavenly Father. But there's something else that Jehovah did for his human creation. And I invite you to turn, please, to Genesis chapter 1, where really the key to our relationship with our Creator is described there. Now look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 with me. Genesis 1 and 27. It says, "And God went on to create the man in his image. In God's image, he created him, male and female, he created them." So whether you're a male or a female, Jehovah God created you in his image, meaning that we would be very much like him in the way that we acted, in the way that we behaved. We would cherish things that Jehovah cherished because we're in his image. So he cherishes love. In fact, he's described as the God of love. And so we cherish that too. We really appreciate it when somebody shows us love. We really appreciate it when somebody shows us mercy, or somebody shows us justice, or somebody's creative, or somebody's artistic. All these beautiful gifts are from Jehovah, the Creator. And as we use these things, who else is happy with that? It's not just us, it's him, right? We draw closer because we're made in his image. He didn't make us separate, some other being that has nothing to do with him. No, he wanted us to be just like him, to have that close relationship. And so not only is it possible to have a relationship with God, he made us in his image in order to do just that. Now, obviously, the first parents disobeyed the Creator, and they fell to imperfection. And here's where the trouble lies, right? Some people feel, well, that might have been the case then. But now we're imperfect. Is a perfect heavenly Creator, a God of justice, going to put up with imperfect humans? Does he even want a relationship with a bunch of imperfect humans? And the answer to that is absolutely beautiful, and it's found at James chapter 4. So please turn in your Bibles and have a look at the situation we're in right now. Romans 2:14 starts, "For when people of the nations who do not have law do by nature the things of the law, these people, although not having law, are a law to themselves. They are the very ones who demonstrate the matter of the law to be written in their hearts, while their conscience is bearing witness with them. And by their own thoughts, they are being accused or even excused." So what is the tool? What is the tool that Jehovah has given his human creation that helps us to know when to apply Bible principles? I mean, if you look in these verses, it's talking about people of the nations. And even the people of the nations sometimes know when to apply the rule of love, the rule of mercy, the rule of justice, right? In fact, many do. And where does that come from? Well, it's very clear, right? In verse 15, it says the matter is written in their hearts. Jehovah made us with a conscience, something that that moves us to know when to apply our Bible principles. Now, as we say, this verse is geared towards worldly folks, and you know, they do certain things that are pleasing to God because of their conscience. And they don't murder, for example, some. The grand majority don't murder, right? Or they don't steal, or things like that. Those are all things that are all real pleasing to Jehovah God for sure. But if we're trying to grow in our relationship with Jehovah God, how can we use this beautiful tool to grow in our relationship with God? What must we do with this tool? Well, very much like any tool that needs sharpening, eventually it needs sharpening, right? And kitchen knives or axes or whatever it might be, eventually it needs some, it's been used, eventually it needs some sharpening. Especially if you get a secondhand one. If you get a secondhand axe from somebody or secondhand kitchen knife or something, you have to sharpen it, you know? But this is the point with our conscience, we can train it, we can sharpen it. And that is done basically through our Bible reading and our personal study. As we get to know how Jehovah would act in certain circumstances, our conscience starts to agree with it, especially if we're trying to grow in our relationship with God. So we slowly start training our conscience. We read the scriptures and we realize, oh, well, I haven't been doing that right. You know, certain action, maybe forgiveness. You know, we get watchtower articles once in a while about forgiveness. And, well, that one I kind of was, you know, really weak at. And we've kind of trained our conscience to get better at it. And now we're quick to forgive. A lot quicker than we were when we first came to the truth. Because we've trained our conscience. We've learned that, you know, Jehovah would be quick to forgive. Right? And so our conscience, when something, you know, happens to us, maybe somebody hurts us, our conscience, just as an example, our conscience kicks in and tells us now's the time that you have to apply this Bible principle, right? It says when. This is the when as to our Bible principles and our training. And the nice thing about Jehovah's giving us a conscience, instead of just, let's compare the Israelites. Let's say you were born in ancient Israel. And you born under the law, and they would call that, you know, you're born in the truth, as it were, right? Parents were Israelites, you're an Israelite, here's the law, we follow the law, and we're pleasing to God. That's how they had it then. Now, under Christianity, there's no real law like the Mosaic law, right? Jehovah gives us principles to live by. And those principles can be, you know, principles are what laws are based on, right? And so if you were an Israelite, you would be fully pleasing to God just by following a set of rules. And now we have the challenge of saying, well, sometimes I want rules. And, you know, we do have rules as Christians. There are some. If you look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, for example, it mentions things like sexual immorality, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuality. It goes on. There's you know, thieves, greedy people, drunkards. It goes on. There are some things that God just says, that's wrong. But the grand majority of the time, he allows us to act on principle, on principles that will draw us closer to him. And so by doing that, it gives us much more freedom than maybe an Israelite would have had back in the day, right? It was yes or no law for them. For us, the difference is we get to choose. I mean, that's such a beautiful thing. So you have people who are choosing to do things Jehovah's way. They're choosing to train their conscience to help them to act and know when to apply Bible principles. What do you think Jehovah's happier with? Somebody who just sits and goes yes or no, or is he happy with somebody who chooses his way? I mean, doesn't that draw us closer to him when we consistently choose to do things his way? That's the power of the conscience. Because our conscience will tell us two things, right? It's going to tell us, okay, you did something wrong, and it's going to torment us over that wrong that we might have done and said, you know, I didn't do things exactly as how I think Jehovah would have done them or Jesus would have done them, you know? And then other times it'll just prevent us from doing something wrong. We think, I'm going to do this. And then our conscience says, hold on a second. You read a verse a few weeks ago that said Jehovah wouldn't do it that way, right? And then our conscience prevents us from doing something that could actually be quite damaging to our relationship with Jehovah God. So by giving us these principles, by allowing most of our actions to be based on principles found in God's word, he's giving us the opportunity to read his word. He's giving us the opportunity to understand his word, study his word, and meditate on his word, and then act accordingly. And there's millions of people around the world who are doing this and who are drawing closer to God because they're studying his word and they're allowing their conscience to guide them and to remind them that, no, now's the time. And something very interesting about that is, take one of the fundamental principles Jehovah puts us under, the principle of love, okay? We might say, like, we're waiting for an opportunity, right? So that somebody's hurt us. And so we say, well, it's loving to forgive. That's true. But the principle of love also moves us to do things. We hear maybe somebody's in the hospital or somebody got sick or whatever, and we make a meal for them. We drop off a meal. Or we hear somebody, maybe they're not able to get around anymore, so we're gonna drive them somewhere. You know, it moves us to action, right? We do something because our conscience is telling us, wouldn't it be nice, wouldn't it be loving to go help out, to go do something, to be proactive. So it's really a beautiful gift. And as we do those things, and as it tells us, now's the time to help out, now's the time to do this, we draw closer to our God, who is actively showing love as well. Now, if the conscience is the when to act, right? We when a Bible principle applies, when it's time to act in a way that's going to show that we follow Jehovah's directions and principles. The second point of this talk is the what. Because you might know when to act, but if you don't know what Bible principles apply, you may never act. Right? Because we come into the truth and we learn the big ones, right? We learn love and justice and mercy. Those ones we learn, and we're still working at them, right? But the Bible is full of Bible principles that can really help us draw closer to God and help us to be the perfect image of God. So we also need to know what Bible principles apply, don't we? And so we kind of learn the truth. We come into the truth. We get baptized and we think, boy, we're doing really, really good. You know, I got baptized. But take a look, please, at Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read our second way in which we can draw closer to God. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to read the last verse of chapter 5 and the first verse of chapter 6. So starting there in verse 14 of chapter 5, it says, "But solid food belongs to mature people, to those who through use have their powers of discernment trained to distinguish both right and wrong. Therefore, now that we have moved beyond the primary doctrine about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying a foundation again, namely repentance from dead works and faith in God," and it goes on in verse 2 as well, basic Christian teachings. So what's the point? You notice in verse 1 of chapter 6 there, he says, press on to maturity. And you ever notice that? You have an older sister or an older brother in a congregation, and they've just been in the truth for quite a while, and they just seem so spiritually mature, right? And what is it about, why do we say that? Why do we say, oh, that person is spiritually mature? It's because they know the scriptures, and they know what principles apply, right? We might be confused over a matter, and we talk to an older brother, an older sister who's been in the truth for a while, and they give us exactly what we need. And they go, well, have you considered this verse, right? And we sit there and we go, my goodness, I've never seen that ever. Been in the truth 40 years, never saw that verse for some reason, right? But it's their maturity level that just strikes us. And how have they reached that capacity? How have they gotten there, right? Don't get me wrong, there are 20-year-olds who are spiritually mature. So it's not the age, but it is what they've learned from the scriptures. It's what they know. It's how much study they've done of the Bible. It's how much they've read. And when they're reading the Bible, they'll just read it to hear the stories, right? The story of Samson, the story of Gideon. It's not just to read stories, but to learn what principles Jehovah God cherishes, what principles Jehovah God applies himself. And when he was pleased with his own people, when they would apply it. So if our conscience is the when, spiritual maturity helps us with the what. And so we want to strive to understand Bible principles as best as we can. We can't just be happy with, well, I went through the book, You know, we always refer to it as, I went through the book and I got baptized. That's great. Paul, in verse 1 there of Hebrews 6, he says that's the foundation. Man, nobody stops building a house at the foundation. Nobody. You know, not unless they're flat broke and didn't know what they were doing. So nobody stops at the foundation. So Paul said, well, why are we going back to the foundation there in verse 1? He says, press on to maturity. Well, now that we're in the truth, now we got to press on. Now we got to really start learning what Bible principles there are. Because what happens is, if we don't, we start to think in our human minds that, well, I do know everything. I already know everything. And so I know when to abide, I know when to show, I know I need to forgive, and I know this and I know that. And we start to think that that's all there is. And then we meet a spiritually mature one. And the spiritually mature one kind of opens our eyes to a few other verses that we haven't considered, as mentioned, and we go, oh, okay, so I don't know everything there is to know. And there's a lot. There's no doubt about that. So what happens when we start studying God's word? We're looking for these principles. We're looking for what pleases Jehovah, how we can draw closer to him through these principles. And what happens when we do come across something we had never seen before? You know, like we maybe just came into the truth and we start learning about forgiveness. Is a good one. We like using it as an example because it's a hard one. And we start learning about forgiveness and so forth. But there's a difference between reading it, right, and then applying it, obviously, right? We say, well, I've read in the Bible that I should be forgiven. But do we allow God's word to guide us completely? Or do we read it and start making excuses, saying, well, you know, in my situation, it's a little different. It's different because, well, this happened and that happened, and we make these excuses. That's not accepting Bible principles completely, is it? And if we kind of start making excuses for ourselves, the sad results are actually weakness and a failure to keep growing in our relationship with Jehovah God. So here's the encouragement Paul gave to the Ephesians. Why don't we look at that? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. He really wanted them to understand this principle of knowing what Bible principles need to be applied in our lives in order to grow in our relationship with God. So he really told the Ephesians here in Ephesians 4 and 13. We'll also read verse 15, so stick there for a bit. But verse 13 starts, it says, until we all attain to the oneness of the faith and of the accurate knowledge of the Son of God, to being a full-grown man. Attaining the measure of stature that belongs to the fullness of the Christ. And then drop down to verse 15 where it says, but speaking the truth, let us by love grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So in those two verses alone, he emphasizes the need for us to be like the Christ. Right? And that is what Christianity is. It's following the Christ. And so he's saying, you know, we don't want to just come close. We want to be like the Christ, right? If we look at verse 13, he said it was a stature, right? He says attaining the measure of stature that belongs to not the half of the Christ, not a portion of the Christ, but the fullness of the Christ. So it's quite a challenge, but the encouragement is still there, right? Paul is saying, you know, you may be an imperfect, he's talking to a congregation here, he's talking to the Ephesians, and he's saying, you might be imperfect, but push for it, go for it, right? Attain that relationship with your Creator the same as the Christ has with him. I mean, that would be something, right? But that's what he's telling us to do. And so we need that, as it says in verse 13 there, he says, you need the faith, sure, but you also need that accurate knowledge. And that accurate knowledge doesn't pop into our head while we're sleeping, right? We do have to take time out of our day to read and meditate and then maybe do some research on things that we don't really understand, why such and such a thing took place in the scriptures. But push ahead to maturity. Learn what Bible principles apply throughout our lives, because then we'll know when to apply them, right? And we'll say, wait a second, here's a time in my life where I can apply a Bible principle that I just learned maybe a year ago. Right? And then we start growing in our relationship with God. God says, look at this. Somebody who's chosen to learn my principles and somebody who's chosen to apply them at the right time. So how happy he would be. So the danger is this. The danger is new ones. When the new ones come into the truth, right? And we were talking about somebody who might have studied the Bible and got baptized. And maybe you've met folks like this, right? They come into the truth and their first impression of Jehovah's Witnesses is that all these witnesses are just perfect. Right? They just get everything right. And they show up with a suit and a tie or a dress and they're perfect, right? Everything about them. And there's an interesting illustration about that, about the congregation being like a forest. And, you know, you might be driving on the highway and you might see a hill or a mountain or something and it's just full of trees. And it's beautiful, right? From a distance, it's green, it's lush. It looks absolutely stunning, you know? And you go, my goodness, I go, if I ever went in that forest, I'd get lost. You know, that's not for me, you know? But it's just so beautiful. And then taking somebody into the truth is kind of like that. They look at the congregation, they go, boy, it's beautiful. Look at all these perfect people, right? They're just applying Bible principles. They seem to know the Bible so well, right? But the thing about forests, of course, is if you do go inside of the forest, what do you see, right? Well, there's some of those trees are saplings, right? Some of those trees have termites, right? Some of those trees have broken branches. Some of those trees have been hit by lightning. You know, the forest is not exactly perfect, right? It looks good from a distance. You get inside, you realize there's a lot of damage there. And that is what the human race is, right? So when we're damaged, we're imperfect. And so when they come into the congregation, they think everything's going to be perfect. And a new person, when confronted with the imperfections of the congregation or of somebody in the congregation, what happens? Right? Now they're challenged. And they might not necessarily know what Bible principle applies, and they might not necessarily know when to apply that Bible principle, right? Because they're just new. They're just new. And so sometimes that calls for us who've maybe been in the truth a little longer to apply other Bible principles, right? Now we've got to help this person to understand this is how Jehovah would be, right? And even though the congregation isn't perfect, it's still beautiful, right? It's made up of people who are trying, right? There's saplings, there's little trees, right? And those trees still have some time needed to grow. They still need a little more sunlight, a little more water, but they're still a part of the forest, right? They're not outside the forest, they're in the forest. So it's kind of like that with the congregation, right? Not everybody's at the same height of trees or knowledge, whatever you want to call it, right? You want to give them time. And so for new ones, yeah, it can be a very big challenge. And if you happen to be newly associated with Jehovah's Witnesses, don't give up. It is a challenge to learn, you know, what Bible principles apply. But as time goes by, as your study continues, your maturity grows. And your relationship with Jehovah God becomes so strong that you're going to love applying those Bible principles. So the thing is, what we've learned is two things. In order to grow in our relationship with Jehovah God, we need to know when to apply his Bible principles. And he's given us a conscience to help us do that. And so we need to train it. We need to sharpen it and train it through his word. We also need to know what Bible principles apply. We can't just stop at a handful of principles that we might initially become familiar with. Keep pressing forward. There's a lot of interesting principles found in God's word that can be applied in our lives. And so that growth to maturity also draws us closer to our heavenly creator, because he is absolutely thrilled when we choose to do things his way. Now we might think, okay, well, that's great. But let's say you've been in the truth for a while. You know, we've been in the truth for a while and we think, well, I've been doing this for years. I've been reading the scriptures for years. Maybe you've read through the Bible a number of times. And that is incredibly commendable, isn't it? It's every time you read through the Bible, is it not true that you learn something new, you see scriptures you didn't see before somehow, right? But is our relationship still able to grow even after 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of knowing Jehovah, of studying his word? Is there an end to our relationship with Jehovah God, to our growth and with Jehovah God? Well, here's something very interesting Paul told Timothy. You know, two very spiritual men, part of the Christian congregation. So if you'd like to take a look at what he said. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you'd like to read that with me. Paul talking to Timothy, of course. So 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. Now, if you take a look at 1 Timothy 4 and 15, it says, ponder over these things, be absorbed in them, so that your advancement may be plainly seen by all people. This brother Timothy was not a spiritually immature person at all. This was a spiritually mature individual. Paul said, by the way, Timothy, let your advancement be plainly seen. So there's still much more advancement to make, apparently, right? According to Paul. And it's true. He was absolutely right. More advancement is always possible. Learning more about our Creator, learning how to apply them, when to apply them. These things don't just go away. We work at them. And so Timothy was encouraged to do exactly that. Keep advancing. Keep becoming that mature brother and sister in the congregation. Well, in what ways? You know, it says make your advancement. No, Paul's telling him, make your advancement known. But if we back up a couple of verses, Paul was actually being quite specific with Timothy. Take a look, please, at verses 12 and 13, just prior to verse 15 there. So if you start in verse 12, it says there, never let anyone look down on your youth. Instead, become an example to the faithful ones in what? In speaking, in conduct, in love, in faith, in chasteness, until I come. Continue applying yourself to public reading, to exhortation, and to teaching. Now, there's all kinds of things they could have worked that he was able to work on, right? But I mean, look at one. The end of verse 12, he said, become an example in faith. I mean, when we have an example of faith, that is just beautiful, right? But Paul's talking to a younger person here, right? He's saying, don't let anyone look down on your youth. Become an example of faith to faithful ones. I mean, that's something. So can we do that? Can we work towards those kinds of goals? Can we have the same goals as Timothy? Work towards our relationship with God. Show that we have this faith in God's principles. He did that, right? And he became a beautiful example to the congregation. So as we do that, as we continue to apply Bible principles, knowing what Bible principles apply, pushing towards that maturity, and when we know when Bible principles apply, we get that much closer to God, and we don't give up in that endeavor. And no matter how long we've been in the truth, we keep pushing forward. And as we do so, we're growing a relationship with our Creator that Adam and Eve threw away, that you and I can have this beautiful relationship, acting and behaving and being in the image of our loving Heavenly Creator, Jehovah. And we can do that forever. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Shepherd. We certainly appreciate you visiting our congregation.